Praise the Lord. What a beautiful night in the presence of the Lord, and time to look to the Word. The message tonight is Journey Mercies, number 2 of 2. So last week, I did a first part of this message on Journey Mercies, and today we're going to look out of the Scripture in 2 Corinthians 11, the words of Paul, where he talks about perils of journeys and how we need to be aware of our walk in this world, our walk before the Lord, and our journey through life. You know, it's a fact that in ancient cities, when they unearthed them, and still popular in some parts of the world today, that at the exits of the city, the main roads out, there is often put a shrine or some small structure with the idol gods that that city or that people worship. And that people, when they're traveling out of the city to go on a journey, they would stop and offer incense, some kind of sacrifice to their idol god, and desiring some protection for their journey. There is an innate sense in man that journeys have perils, that when you travel, there are dangers you can face. It was the custom in Christian circles, true to this day in our family, that Christians, when they would go on a trip, travel out from their near vicinity, take a trip for some hours or some great distance, that they would take a moment and pray over their journey, commit the journey to God, surrender their lives to God. There is this sense, asking protection from the Lord. We all understand that there are perils, there are dangers with journeys and with travel. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 28. Paul says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more." Paul is defending his ministry. Of all people, Paul is defending his ministry. So many critics and people against him. He said, "In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, the waters of the Mediterranean. In journeys often. In perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weakness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches." Paul mentions 8 perils in relation to journeys. Journey mercies, we all need them. Just to cover the first 4 from last message quickly. Number 1, perils of waters. That is the danger of doctrinal extremes. Number 2, perils of robbers. Any enemy agents that want to steal your money, especially your tithes, offerings, and alms. Number 3, perils of countrymen. Small praise from your own people. Number 4, perils of the Gentiles. The threat of worldliness, getting too close to the world. Number 5, begin the new section tonight, perils in the city. Tests and trials in the place you live. Perils in the city. There are perils in this city. Tests and trials in the place where we live. We have that constant demand on us, individually and as a family, a responsibility for life in this city. We have to look after vocation and occasion and occupation. There are perils that come along with life in this city. The upkeep of life in this city. And we have to guard our spirit. so that we don't fall into annoyance or complaint or criticism or some kind of a negative spirit. Serving God in the city, our outlook in the city, our attitude as we make our way through the city every day and look after all the things that God has given us in this city to take care of. Proverbs 11, verse 11 says, "By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked." Our mouths can speak negative wickedness, or it can speak blessing. The Bible says, "By the blessing of the city, of the upright, the city is exalted." The people of God exalt a city and cause there to be a redemptive spirit in the city and a blessing in the city. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. So we must take care that we do not let ourselves get worn down in the city, but that we maintain a spirit of God and a spirit of righteousness. You know the story. A family approached the gates of an ancient city and called out to the elders at the gates, "What kind of a city is this?" They said, "What kind of a city did you come from?" "Oh, it was a great city. We loved it." "That," said the elders, "is what kind of city this is." Another family approached the gates and called out to the elders, "What kind of city is this?" They said, "What kind of city did you come from?" They said, "It was a terrible city. We hated it." The elders said, "That is what kind of city this is." Our spirit determines the quality of life we live in the city. Our spirit determines the life we live in the city, the quality of life we live in the city. A family approached the gates of Christ City and called out to the elders, "What kind of a city is this?" But we'll leave that story for another time and place, because we're not talking about the church. We're talking about the city. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul's words to the church at Philippi. He said, "Do all things without complaining and disputing." And the Christians answered, "Are you kidding? Do you know what it's like down here in Philippi? You're up in Rome. You haven't been to Philippi for a long time. Do you know what the tax levels are going to for our property? Paul, do you know what it's costing to go and get groceries at the store? Have you tried to buy a camel lately?" Man, if I could move to Ephesus, you know, I'd get a new start and a fresh start, things would be different. Paul says, no. He says, right there in Philippi, where you live, do all things without complaining and disputing. I'm trying. "That you may become blameless and harmless." Wow, no reproach, no criticism of the Christian. "Children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." There are perils in the city, that we get worn down, that our spirit gets frustrated, that we get annoyed, that we could pick up complaint and a negative spirit. But God wants us to shine as lights. And everything we do, from the moment we get up till we lay our head on our pillow at night, that we are blessing, and we are blessing and speaking life, and we have a redemptive spirit in us. Acts chapter 18, 9 to 11. "Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision." This was in Corinth. He said, "Do not be afraid, but speak And do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. How many believe the Lord has many people in this city? Many more to be saved, families and lives rescued and redeemed by the power of God. We know He does. God is saying to us, I have many people in this city. And Paul, though he was an evangelist, an apostolic missionary who didn't stay long in a place, he had to get the message off to other cities and towns. The Bible says he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Pray for the gospel in this city. Drive through the city. When you're out of light and you're kind of annoyed this light's taking so long, just start praying for the city. Pray for the people. Pray for souls. Pray for the blessing of God to come on the city that God can reap a harvest. We must maintain a redemptive spirit concerning our city. Perils in the city, we understand them and we overcome. Number six, perils in the wilderness. Difficult seasons of proving and refining. Perils in the wilderness. Wilderness seasons are not easy. When we're going through difficult times, and we're not talking about a wilderness wandering, which is something that we create out of our own disobedience, but even then God can work in us. We're talking about a wilderness experience, a time where God allows us to be tested and proved and refined. Matthew 4:1 says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Jesus went through a season of testing and proving, refining. Mark 1:12-13 says, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. This Holy Spirit drove him into that testing time in his life. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts. And the angels ministered to him. Jesus went through a wilderness experience. He was in the wilderness. He was with the wild beasts, but they couldn't touch him. The wild beasts couldn't touch him. When we are facing wilderness times in our life, seasons of proving, refining, testing, difficult seasons, we have to tame the wild beasts, or they can really rip and devour and tear us. Fears, frustrations, angers, self-pity, despair, disappointment with God, perils in the wilderness. We all know it. When we're going through a season of testing and trial and refining and proving, a difficult season, we have to be extra careful, don't we, against the wild beasts that would want to devour us. Psalm 22. Verses 23, 5 to 6. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. They're out there, but they're kept at bay. It's like they're tame. They can't touch us. A table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A table in the wilderness. Enemies about. But God has a table for us. And the enemies are kept at bay, and we eat at his table. We eat the promises of God. When we are going through difficult times, how many know it? The Word of God speaks. The Holy Spirit speaks in wonderful, direct, clear promises of God to help us through. Song of Solomon 8:5. Who is this coming up from the wilderness? This bride of Christ leaning upon her beloved. Who is this coming up from the wilderness? Testing, trial, proving, refining. And here she is leaning upon her beloved. That's how to come out of the wilderness, leaning on your beloved, closer to Jesus than you've ever been. Not leaning on your own strength, not moving so much in your own power, but leaning more and more on our beloved Christ the Lord. Psalm 66, 8 to 12. Oh, bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us, purified us, as silver is refined, times the heat is turned up. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. Men to ride over our heads. Decisions made and judgments put out. That were above you and beyond you, and you had no say. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. There are perils in the wilderness, but we want to lean on our beloved and deal with those perils and deal with those wild beasts and come out refined and come out to rich fulfillment. The wilderness breaks our pride, breaks our self-sufficiency and dependence on ourselves, and it drives us into the Word of God. And as God refines us, he brings us out more and more into rich fulfillment. Jesus was in the wilderness, tested by Satan. The wild beasts couldn't touch him. Satan couldn't touch him. He overcame, and angels ministered to him. And so it is with us. Number 7, perils in the sea. Uncertainty on the waters of life. Perils in the sea. We must navigate the waters of this life, the seas of this life, and keep our wits about us and keep our hands steady on the helm. We're on the seas of life. You know, water is such an amazing substance, isn't it? Like miracle water, but you know what I'm talking about. It's not too thick, it's not too thin, it's just right. My, sometimes it's so stable. And then other times it's so unstable. It's not stable at all. Jesus said, Matthew 16, 2 to 3, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. And we understand that we must discern the weather. We must discern the signs of the times. We can look out in the evening and we can look out in the morning. And we have to go out on the waters of life. There are perils on the waters. Perils on the waters. Storms. My, the weather can change quickly. Sometimes in just a few minutes. One phone call. One situation. The seas of life, we're subject to some instability in this world, and there's societal pressures, and there are moral upheavals, and there are political situations and changes. There are setbacks and sorrows. There are difficult times. There are persecutions. Perils in the sea. We need to know the weather. We need to discern the weather. We need to know what we're facing that day. And the Lord says, discern the signs of your time. Discern the signs that you're living in, the times you're living in, and make your way across the waters. Proverbs 30, 18 to 19. There are three things which are too wonderful for me. They're too full of wonder for me to understand. Yes, for which I do not understand. He said, the way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent on a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea. That is the mystery of the victory of the believer on the waters of this life. How the believer can ride the waters of this life in victory. Sometimes Jesus said, peace be still. Other times he's asleep in the boat and the boat is rocking and pitching with the waves and you wonder if you're going to make it through. And he just says, why did you doubt? We face some storms. We face these things. God is working in us, teaching us, leading us through it. He's leading us on our journey across the waters of this life. He said, one of the great mysteries, one of the great wonders is how my people can ride the waters of this world and live in such peace and victory and joy and strength. It's a wonder of the world. The Apostle Paul, my, he endured things. The Apostle Paul, on the seas of life. In 2 Corinthians 11, we read, he said, 3 times I was shipwrecked. Spent a day and a night in the Mediterranean, those cold waters, among the other things. But then he went to Rome. He was actually shipwrecked 4 times. And Acts 27 to 28 describes his journey to Rome. And it's a great picture and illustration of our journey in this life. It started out, he said, you can read these descriptive terms. It's so enlightening. He said it was fair weather. It was foul weather. It was smooth sailing. It was rough sailing. Fair havens. Fair havens. Pull out the deck chairs, sit in the sun, enjoy the blessing of God. Oh, Syrtis Sands, the sandbars off the north coast of Africa that meant destruction and death. He said, sometimes we made our way slowly. Oh, but then the south wind blew softly. We found the shelter of an island. Then he said, we sailed slowly. Many days. Have you ever sailed slowly many days and not much seemed to be happening in your life? Paul says, we didn't see the moon or the stars, the sun, for many days. And he's talking about this journey across the sea. And it describes the journey of our life, the highs and the lows, the blessings, some of the agonies, the ecstasies, the good, the difficult times. And then Acts 28, verse 16, there it is. He says, finally, we came to Rome. And for the believer, one day we're going to say, we came to heaven. Finally, we made it. There are perils in the sea. Perils in the sea. And we must guard ourselves and guide ourselves so we can sail with God and make it through. Luke 21, 25. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth. Distress of nations, Jesus said. With perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. See, the sea and the waves roaring. That's not the literal ocean waves out there. That is peoples and political powers and agendas and economies and clashes and wars and fightings and strife and hatred of the world. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear, and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws nigh. And they came to heaven, and we're going to make it through the perils. and we're going to make it through the trials and the uncertainty of this life and its stability, and we're going to be with the Lord forever. We'll reach those shores. Final number 8, perils among false brethren, which is the pain and strain of broken relationships. The pain and strain of broken relationships, and there's not a person who doesn't face the perils of this. The perils among false brethren. 2 Timothy 1:15 to 18. This you know, Paul said, that all those in Asia, that is the Roman province of Asia Minor, have turned away from me. He was now in prison. Persecution under Nero was hot. People didn't want to identify with Paul. Paul who? Threat of persecution, arrest, imprisonment, death. Paul says, this you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me. Paul said, many have forsaken me, but wow, I've got this family. He often refreshed me. He knew how weary I was. He knew how tired I was. He knew how thirsty I was. Paul says, this family oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day, the day of Christ. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. All have turned away from me, Paul said. Talks about, you can read his story in the Acts and the epistles. I mean, he was hounded and hunted. So much criticism against the Apostle Paul of all people. So much slander and questioning his motives and accusing him of misuse of funds and power and authority. John 6, 66 to 68. Jesus. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. That's verse 66. Watch out for 666. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, they'd been with him for some time, maybe a year and a half. Are you offended too? Is there something getting into your spirit where you're critical of me, Jesus said? He said, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Rejection is hard to take. Betrayal, people that turn against you, friended and unfriended, glowing words, and then gone. This can happen in a family. That rejection, that hurt, that pain, perils of false brethren. That's what it's called. Can happen in a family. It can happen in a business relationship, associates. It can happen in a church. It can happen in a marriage. Till death us do part. And all of a sudden, perils. And love turns to hate. We're all affected by strained relationships at times, some more severe than others. What do we do? How do we handle this peril? What are we going to do about it? Hebrews 12, 14 to 15. Pursue peace with all people and holiness. Holiness. Keep your spirit right, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, that empowering presence of God to help you in times when you're facing those strains and pains, lest any root of bitterness springing up, cause trouble. And by this, many become defiled. Perils of false brethren, perils, pains, and strains of fractured and broken relationships and disloyalties and the heartache that goes with it. What do? You walk on. You walk it through. You keep a right spirit. You keep a clean spirit. You call on the name of the Lord. You weep if you have to. You cast yourself on the presence of the Lord, and you make it through. Don't ever say, I'll never trust anyone again. I'll never be close to anyone again. I won't be serving people anymore. If we take that up, we're dead while we live. We're dead while we live. We must keep on praying. We must keep on giving. We must keep on serving. We must keep on helping those God has given us. Perils, but the Lord will bring us through, and the Lord will strengthen us and help us and guide us and lead us. Take us through in holiness. Take us on for a fruitful life. This is the way of the Lord. Let's have the worship ministry come, and let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 14 to 18, the Apostle Paul said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You must also beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. You say, well, what kind of a spirit is that in the Apostle Paul? Does he have a vendetta against Alexander the coppersmith? Listen, verse 14 is not a personal vendetta. Paul was free of that. This was a kingdom matter. This was higher than him, not subject to him. This was the king's matter, because there was a man in that place that was resisting the gospel and keeping the gospel from men and women that God wanted to redeem. Paul said, this is higher than me. Lord, you look after that. But then he comes to himself. There he is in prison. His days are numbered. He said, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. This glorious holy apostle, at my first defense, no one stood with me. He said, all forsook me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. Journey Mercies. Let's pray tonight and let's ask God for Journey Mercies. Whatever perils that have been identified, and Holy Spirit knows how to take these eight perils and work them down into our heart. Are you facing a peril tonight? Is there a temptation? Is there a trial? Is there some peril, some danger zone that you can feel? Ask God for Journey Mercies tonight. Say, Lord, we can't journey in this life without perils. We can't increase. We can't journey with God. We can't journey in the ministry. We can't increase effectiveness in this life without exposing ourselves to perils. and they're there. But we have a Lord who knows how to speak to us and lead us and help us. Let's ask God for journey mercies tonight. If you'd like prayer in any specific way, please slip out from where you are. Come down to the front. Say, God, I need you. I'm facing a peril. I'm facing a danger. Lord, come on my life tonight. Strengthen me. People of God, come around you and lift you up. And God gives you strength and wisdom and power for the journey. Hallelujah.